This is part of why because this sixth chapter, text 3.
Avrukshar,
Puner, Yogam, Karma, Karanam, Uchyate, Yoga Rudhasya, Asyaiva, Shama, Karanam, Uchyate, Avrukshar, Muner, Yogam, Karma karanam uchyate,
karma karanam uchyate,
yogarudhasya tasyaiva,
yogarudhasya tasyaiva,
shama karanam uchyate,
shama karanam uchyate,
avrukshar muner yogam,
avrukshar muner yogam,
karma karanam uchyate,
karma karanam uchyate,
yogarudhasya tasyaiva,
yogarudhasya tasyaiva,
shama karanam uchyate,
shama karanam uchyate.
Close by the door. This way. Shift over. Avrukshar muner yogam,
avrukshar muner yogam,
karma karanam uchyate,
karma karanam uchyate,
yogarudhasya tasyaiva,
yogarudhasya tasyaiva,
shama karanam uchyate,
shama karanam uchyate.
Avrukshar, who has just begun yoga,
who has just begun yoga,
Mune,
of the sage,
Yogam,
Yogam,
the Eightfold Yoga System,
the Eightfold Yoga System,
Karma,
Karma,
work,
work,
Karanam,
Karanam,
the means,
the means,
Uchyate,
Uchyate,
is said to be,
is said to be,
Yoga,
Yoga,
Eightfold Yoga,
Eightfold Yoga,
Avrutasya,
Avrutasya,
of one who has
of one who has excellent names.
Tasya,
tasya,
his,
his,
eva,
eva,
certain,
certain,
shamaha,
shamaha,
cessation of all material activities,
cessation of all material activities,
karanam,
karanam,
the means,
the means,
uchyate,
uchyate,
is said to be,
is said to be.
For one who is a neophyte in the Eightfold Yoga System, work is said to be the means. And for one who is already elevated in yoga, cessation of all material activities is said to be the means. Purport. The process of linking oneself with the Supreme is called yoga. This can...
Maybe you can move up.
Yeah, if everyone comes front, then...
And to the side.
The process of linking oneself with the Supreme is called yoga. It may be compared to a ladder for attaining the topmost spiritual realization. This ladder begins from the lowest material condition of the living entity and rises up to perfect self-realization in pure spiritual life. According to various elevations, different parts of the ladder are known by different names. But all in all, the complete ladder is called yoga and may be divided into three parts, namely jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and bhakti yoga. The beginning of the ladder is called the Yogarudhasya stage, and the highest rung is called Yogarudha. Concerning the Eightfold Yoga System, attempts in the beginning to enter into meditation through regulative principles of life and practice of different sitting postures, which are more or less bodily exercises, are considered fruitive material activities. All such activities lead to achieving perfect mental equilibrium, to control the senses. When one is accomplished in the practice of meditation, he ceases all disturbing mental activities. A Krishna-conscious person, however, is situated from the beginning on the platform of meditation because he always thinks of Krishna. And being constantly engaged in the service of Krishna, he is considered to have ceased all material activities. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vande Ham Sri Gurave Sri Tathapadakamam Sri Gurum Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvetam Shavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lurita Sri Vishakhanditamascha He Krishna Karana Sindhau Dina Bandhau Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Vrishabhanu Suche Devi Pranamami Hoi Priyane Vancha Ko Pitarubhyascha Kripasindho Vyevacha Patitanam Avanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaurabhakta Vrindavan Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Avrukshar Muner Yoga Karma Karna Uchite Yoga Rutasya Tasyaiva Shama Karna Uchite Srila Prabhupada points out here that there's a system for raising the living entity, even from the lowest condition of life, up to perfect self-realization. So in the lower species, things are more or less automatic. And then we gradually come to the human life, starting with the uncivilized way of life, gradually rising up to regulated life, then fruitive activities, gradually up to the speculative platform, and finally to the platform of bhakti yoga. So in the regulated human life, this yoga system is available, starting from the karma yoga, or the practice of fruitive activities dovetailed with Krishna consciousness. Then the Jnana Yoga, in which intellectual activities, speculative activities, are dovetailed with Krishna consciousness. And then Bhakti Yoga, or pure Krishna consciousness. So in this sixth chapter, the Ashtanga Yoga, Eightfold Yoga system is described. When people think of yoga, they generally think of this Eightfold system, or part of this Eightfold system. Generally, or so often, these sitting postures and different kinds of exercises are followed, and they're purely fruitive activities to lose fat, keep one's figure trim and slim, and so on, with no connection with spiritual realization. So this is simply a mundane activity, like jumping jacks or calisthenics. But there are those who are following these asanas and so on as a preliminary step in self-realization. And this is authorized in Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic scriptures. Ashtanga, there are 8 different steps. Control of the mind, control of the senses, yam, niyam, asan, to sit in the proper seat, in the proper way. Then, pratyahar. Ahar means eating. And pratyahar means opposite of eating. So this pratyahar means stopping the, not only eating, but all the business of the senses, withdrawing the senses from their objects of sense gratification. That's called pratyahar. Next thing. Pranayama, breathing exercises, pranayama, pratyahar. Then we come up to dhyan, dharana, samadhi, meditation, fixing the mind. Finally, trance, samadhi, which is the goal of the system. So, in the beginning, one has to follow the rules and regulations and the sitting exercises and breathing exercises. And here, Srila Prabhupada says these are more or less primitive activities. It's work. It's work to sit in the particular posture and to perform these exercises. Hard work. But Krishna says that in the beginning, that's what you do. You do this work. And in the advanced stage, one comes to the point of meditation. Or even before meditation, cessation from fruitive activities. Shama prana. Shama means withdrawal from fruitive activities. Fruitive comes from the Latin root word fruit, which means to enjoy. So fruitive activities are activities performed for enjoyment. So as one advances, one has to withdraw from these fruitive activities. This is required in yoga. And of course there has to be, don't have to be, but for those who are advanced, there are other activities. Practically there must be activities. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jhanti tishtakya karma. Krishna says that one can't cease acting even for a moment. One always has to do something. So here, shama karma mocha, one has to give up the fruitive activities. But one should act positively for the service of Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. That's described by Rupa Goswami. Anasaptasya vishaya. Anasaptasya vishaya means without attachment to vishaya, sense gratification. Now we're acting, but we're acting for sense gratification. A man says, I love my work. I really love what I'm doing. But if he didn't get paid, he wouldn't do it. So he's working for love of money. Sense gratification. He'll get money and enjoy it. So activities for enjoyment are different from activities in pure consciousness. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, anasaptasya vishaya, yatarva upayamjita, when one acts as a matter of duty, but without attachment for the objects of sense gratification. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. He gives up his material attachments, but he becomes attached to his relationship with Krishna. Yukta vairagya. This is yukta vairagya. Yukta means the same thing as yoga, connection. Vairagya, and raga means attachment. And vairagya means without attachment. So this is connection without attachment. He's acting, but he's acting in relationship to Krishna. He may be using material things, but he's using them for the service of Krishna. So this is advancement. To cease material activities. And some philosophers think when you cease material activities, that's perfection. But cessation of material activities is described as the means. Not that this is the end. Now I've ceased all my material activities, I've attained perfection. When you've ceased all material activities, what do? Now I'm not acting in fruitive activity. Well, fine, but what are you doing? I'm not stealing. That's nice. Yeah, what are you doing? The thief, after giving up theft, has to do something practical. But those people on the internet who break into sites and everything, then they go honest and they work for the government. Otherwise, they have to do something. So one has to act in the service of Krishna. And if one acts for the service of Krishna, then automatically he'll become detached from activities for sense gratification. So in Krishna consciousness, cessation of material activities goes hand in hand with taking up spiritual activities. Spiritual perfection doesn't mean inactivity. They think cessation of material activity means cessation of activity. But there's other activity which is not at all material. In the spiritual world, activity is going on. It's not that it's void or dull. It's full of activity. But the activity is eternal. The activity is performed in perfect knowledge. And therefore the activity is blissful. And the activity is without any selfish desire. Krishna sambandhi, it's all for the pleasure of Krishna. So the perfect transcendentalists engage in activity, but only for the pleasure of Krishna. So here, avarukshar munir yogam, karma karna mukhita. The Ashtanga yogi has to begin by performing practically fruitive activities on the work. Or, apart from the Ashtanga yogis, Krishna mentions elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita that the beginners in spiritual realization, or those who've practically hardly begun spiritual realization, should not be disturbed and have their lives disrupted. They should not be wrenched out of their activities and artificially placed on the platform of meditation. That's not possible. Rather, they should be encouraged to go on acting, but act in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example of one devotee. Some African devotee came to Mayapur, and he had the idea that he would set up a little hut in the fields someplace in Mayapur and simply chant Hare Krishna day and night. So of course he was advised otherwise, but he decided, no, this is what I should do. And he did it for about 2 or 3 days, and he was never seen again. Not because he went back to Godhead. Maybe he went back to Calcutta or because it's not possible. If we abruptly decide that Haridas Thakur was chanting so many rounds a day, I'll also sit and chant. But we're not Haridas Thakur. He was on the perfect platform. And we're beginners in the yoga system. So we can't imitate that I'll just meditate on Radha and Krishna. The perfect devotees can do that. But the beginning devotees have to act They have to learn how to act in the service of Krishna. And even the advanced devotees act in the service of Krishna. But particularly in the beginning, one has to learn how to go on working, but connect one's activities with the service of Krishna. So otherwise, what will we preach to the world? Oh, all of you people give up your nonsense and just meditate on Krishna, and read Srimad Bhagavatam, chant Hare Krishna. They won't be able to do it. So we encourage them in different ways to render service to Krishna. Seva mukhi jivado. We don't say, no, you just work, and we'll chant Hare Krishna, you work. No, you also chant Hare Krishna. Your service begins with the tongue. But in the realm of practical activities, you go on working. You're a family man, you have to support your family, you're a businessman, you're this, that. You carry on. But change your consciousness and change the beneficiary of your work. Now you're working just for your own senses or for the extensions of your senses in the form of family members. But change the account of that work to the satisfaction of Krishna. Work to please Krishna. That means give money, or you have some professional ability. It doesn't matter, you may be a lawyer or a bricklayer or whatever. Do that for Krishna. Do that for Krishna. So it's practical. That you're a beginner, don't think that you'll at once jump to the platform of Sanatana Goswami, Guru Goswami, Haridasa Thakur. But do something practical for the service of Krishna. Do your work for the service of Krishna. And gradually, by connecting with Krishna, you'll be thinking of Krishna, thinking of Krishna, thinking of Krishna, and becoming purified. And one day you'll come to the point where you'll be able to meditate all the time. The advanced stage, Santa Sadaiva Hridyeshu Vilokayata. Premanjana Shtrudita Bhakti Vilokayata. Pure devotees, whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love, can meditate on Krishna within their hearts 24 hours a day. Yam Shama Sundara Vajinita Kumasurupa. But in the neophyte stage, our eyes are still smeared with the ointment of lust, material desire. And we're seeing with those eyes, oh, I could enjoy this, I could enjoy that, I'd like to have this, I'd like to do that. For my own enjoyment. So our eyes are still diseased. They're still diseased. So we have to have our vision changed. And in the advanced stage, with changed vision, we'll see everything in terms of Krishna's enjoyment. Krishna's service, Krishna's enjoyment, Krishna's desire. Not my desire, my enjoyment, my, you know. So that will come, but gradually. Therefore, the expert guidance of the spiritual master is required for training the disciple how to come forward in Krishna consciousness. Or disciple, not disciple, but anyone, people are coming forward how to become Krishna conscious. So we offer them a practical program. Just sometimes in some religion, there's some big meeting held, and then at the end people are encouraged to come forward and sign a paper or stand up and announce that they've surrendered to God or God's representative. And they feel all wonderful for one day, and two or three days later, they're back with the bottle, they're back with the cigarettes, they're back with the girl, they're back with the whole story. Because there was not a practical program. The idea may have been very nice, the sentiment may have been very nice, but there was not a practical program to change the consciousness and bring about a change in life. Sometimes on the strength of sentiment, some good thing happens and lasts a little longer, a little shorter. But a practical program is required. Krishna says, just surrender to me. But to surrender to Krishna requires a process. It requires. It's not that if you tell me surrender to Krishna, then what will I do? Fall flat on the floor, I surrender. No. Right, all right. Now 3 hours have gone by, please get up. Do something. So there has to be a process. So that process begins with activity, and in the advanced stage there's cessation of activity. That means cessation of material activity. In the Varnashram system also, there's cessation. The person who's engaged in business affairs and material work, after some time is encouraged, now you give up this activities of working and family maintenance and so on. How do you accept the retired life and renounced life? Renounced life means, at the end of life, simply absorbed in Krishna activity and put aside this fruitive activity or activity for family maintenance and material comfort. Be engaged always in the activities of Krishna consciousness. The plan of being engaged in devotion, in the realm of devotional service also, when we give up our material life and engage in the service of Krishna, it's also required that we engage in practical activities. It's not that when I join the ashram, then my business simply becomes to meditate. No. That also we can do, and that also is not recommended. But our life should be filled with activity for the pleasure of Krishna. Cooking for Krishna, offering the Mangalarti, attending the Mangalarti, chanting, studying, reading the books, distributing the books, cleaning the temple, preaching to interested people, preaching to those who are not so interested. So many activities for the pleasure of Krishna. There was one devotee. He was engaged in Vrindavan, and he had a little tendency for getting into Vrindavan bhav. And this was before even we had our temple in Vrindavan. So Prabhupada put him in charge of the construction work. Means there was hardly anything going to get the bricks and start to do things. And the devotee did it for some time. And then he left, and then finally he left Krishna consciousness. I met him some years later. He told me that actually I had the tendency to relish the devotional mood of Vrindavan. But Prabhupada should have known that. But instead he engaged me in this building and construction, and it just ruined my spiritual life. If you were really on the platform of relishing the mood of Vrindavan, nothing could have ruined your spiritual life. But when one prematurely pretends, now I'm on the level of relishing Vrindavan Pad, then the expert spiritual master prescribes to do something practical. Do some real work for the satisfaction of Krishna. Don't pretend to be an advanced devotee while still maintaining material attachments and not actually understanding the science of Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada had that slogan, work now, samadhi later. Practically the same thing in two words, four words. Work now, samadhi later. In the beginning of the yoga system, work is said to be the means, and later, samadhi. But people have it the other way around, samadhi now and work later. Or work, or samadhi now, samadhi later. But that's not the way. Prabhupada said sometimes one has to work very hard for the service of the spiritual master. When the spiritual master is pleased, then Krishna will reveal himself. Yasya prasada, padva prasada. In this way, we engage our mind, we engage our senses, we engage all of our propensities for action in the service of Krishna, either in our prescribed occupational duties or in direct activities of hearing and chanting. But not that we give up either our prescribed, not that we give up our prescribed duties, whether our duties in our material affairs or our duties for the service of Krishna, the spiritual master. We act, but we act under proper guidance. And by acting under proper guidance, in the advanced stage, we'll be able to think always of Krishna. It doesn't mean that while I'm in the beginning stage, I'll think, I'm working, everything's, I don't have to do anything more, this is yoga. One should aspire to come to the advanced stage. Therefore, we, and in Krishna consciousness, we give that seed of advancement or that method of perfection from the very beginning. In Krishna consciousness, sometimes Prabhupada used to say that the means and the end are the same. In the yoga system, the means is one thing and the end is another thing. The means is sitting postures, breathing exercises, pratyahara, and the end is samadhi. But in Krishna consciousness, you begin with samadhi. Samadhi means always thinking of Krishna. And our beginning is chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada said chanting means thinking. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, then you're thinking of Krishna. And thinking of Krishna is samadhi. So our process, from the beginning to the end, is filled with Krishna consciousness. Not like the mental speculators who begin by trying to figure out whether they're the body or something else, or the karmis who are just doing pious activities and hoping to go to heaven, or the yogis who are trying to get some powers. In our bhakti yoga system, even though we may be acting, even in ordinary material affairs, the chanting of Hare Krishna is so potent and effective that from the very beginning, one is on the path of meditation. Or one becomes advanced in meditation simply by this chanting process. Jaito Dharpana Marjana, Palamaha Dhava Nidhavan, Shreya Kori Nishadhi Kaan Dhaiva, Vidya Vidhi, Anandam Buddhi Dharpana, Pratipadam Purnamatasha. Param Vidyate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. So Krishna Sankirtan is good from the in the beginning, it's good in the end. In the beginning, for the neophyte devotees, it will purify the mind and free us from material attachments. And the advanced devotees will relish everything about Krishna's form, qualities, name, by chanting Hare Krishna. In the beginning, we'll chant and we'll experience something. And in the advanced stage, we'll realize Abhinatam Namanam. No difference between Krishna and Krishna's holy name. All right, are there some questions? Yes.
Did you mean that in my lecture about that you should not be too proud of your knowledge that you have?
What should not?
Did you use your knowledge wisely?
One should not be too proud of the knowledge that one has. Yeah.
And one should, but one should do what? One should not be too proud of one's knowledge, but
use it wisely.
Yes. Yeah, the fools, the person who thinks he's full of knowledge is a fool. The wise person knows that his knowledge is limited. And if one is not acting, using his knowledge wisely, then what kind of knowledge does he have? That is not knowledge, it's ignorance. Sometimes someone gets a little knowledge in Krishna consciousness and then uses it to impress the girls. Preaching to them and impressing them and taking advantage of them. That means he's not advanced in knowledge. If he had knowledge, he'd say, what is this? In fact, those who are in knowledge, they look at what he's doing and say, what is this guy doing? That's not knowledge. To learn a few slokas and attract the women. He hasn't used his knowledge wisely because he doesn't have any. Knowledge is not just kind of stuff that you learn in school and you pack it in your head and then you can unpack it on demand and put on the shelf. That's not knowledge. Knowledge means that you understand something and you can apply it. That's actual knowledge. Big game. Theoretical knowledge is not enough. One has to realize the subject matter. Otherwise, it's theoretical. Okay? Some other question? Yes?
Maharaj, you were talking about surrendering and these processes for like surrendering more and more. Mm. But sometimes I feel it's the other way around. At first, you surrender everything, and then after a while, you get settled in Krishna consciousness, you get this service, and you know, everything is like falling in place. And then your mind gets time to space out in between, going on his own trip. So, how can you check yourself that you're still in the process, keep on surrendering?
Sounds like you know how. You see, am I becoming stale? Am I going back in the direction I came from? Or am I increasing? Is my service to Krishna increasing, or am I coasting downhill? We have to see. And then we have to be a little honest that yes, I used to be doing more service, now I'm doing less service. Everyone thinks now he's a senior devotee, but then I just waste my time. So we have to see, and then put in effect the corrective measures. We should probably mold our lives in such a way that we'll always think of Krishna. Which means also practical activity. Not that the new devotees work very hard and the old devotees watch the new devotees work very hard. Like a supervisor, you know, just watches and doesn't do anything. Not like that. But just like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were always doing something in the service of Krishna. Krishna, Kirtan, Gandhama, always chanting and dancing and writing books or discussing about Krishna. They gave up sleeping, not because they made a give up sleep program, but because they were so busy. They didn't want to sleep or they forgot about it. You were always engaged. You were never idle. No? Yes?
Maharaj, you mentioned that in spiritual world activities are done in full knowledge and therefore they are blissful. Explain please a little bit more. Could you explain a little bit more?
Yeah, activities performed in ignorance are not blissful. Question was that I said that activities in the spiritual world are performed in full knowledge and therefore they're blissful. Yes. When we act in ignorance, the activity is not blissful. We may think it's blissful, but it's not actually happy. It doesn't bring about happiness. Or, it's described in Bhagavad Gita, it's happiness in the beginning and misery at the end. Happiness and passion. That's not happiness. In the beginning, I really got a charge out of it, and then the next day, I'm a mess. That's happiness in the mode of ignorance. But transcendental happiness is from the beginning to the end. It's joyful. The happiness in the spiritual world. Or happiness in the mode of goodness is a little trouble in the beginning, but at the end it's blissful. Because it's performed in knowledge. Atma Buddhi Prasadam. Yattaragre Vishamiva Parinamayamato Tatsukam Satyakam Prokam Atmabhuti Prasad. Happiness and mode of goodness. Little trouble in the beginning, but at the end it's just like nectar. And it awakens one's knowledge. Atmabhuti, self-knowledge, spiritual knowledge. prasadajam, therefore one becomes satisfied. When one acts in full knowledge means knowing that I'm servant of Krishna. I'm Krishna's servant, and I have my eternal relationship with Krishna, therefore my business is to serve Krishna. That's perfect knowledge. When one acts in perfect knowledge, he's blissful. When one acts without that knowledge, when one thinks I'm this body, and the more I please the senses of this body, the more I'll be happy, he's acting in ignorance. Therefore, he won't be blissful. Although his whole life he's working for happiness. I'm working for my happiness, I'm working for my own pleasure, the pleasure of my family. But although he's working for pleasure, he's suffering. And the more he works, the more he suffers. But the Krishna conscious person, because he acts in knowledge, becomes joyful. Some other question?
Yes. Can we get back to Krishna by following the process without any feeling whatsoever?
Can you get some faith in Krishna by following the process without any feeling whatsoever? Well, it's a theoretical question, I would suppose, because there must be some feeling. Hardly ever does any human being act simply on philosophy. Some little feeling must be there. Adav Shraddha. Rupa Goswami says, the beginning is to have some faith. Or probably once translated, interest, some interest. But that involves some sort of little feeling. And you feel, some little bit of feeling. And it may be very weak, not much feeling, and not much knowledge also. But if one acts in good faith, all right, let me see, let me try, let me find out, then, yes, it will work. Because he's following the process, the feeling will come. One time, one of our godbrothers, Gargamuni, he was one of the very first devotees, maybe 1967. And those were back in the days when everyone still wore their blue jeans and were maybe not so different from the people around them on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And anyway, he was following, he became a devotee. And he asked Prabhupada one time, Swamiji, should we bow down to you even if we don't feel anything? Prabhupada said, yes. We bow down before the spiritual master, we bow down before the deity. Maybe not out of spontaneous love and ecstasy. We read in the Nectar of Devotion, or we hear from the devotees, that where we see the example, that when you see the spiritual master, you should offer obeisances. When you see the deity, you should bow down. And therefore, because it's a regulation or a customary practice, we do it. And what do we feel? We don't feel very much. But in the advanced stage, the feeling will come. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He entered the Jagannath temple and saw Lord Jagannath. And he simply fell down in ecstasy and fainted. Because he was seeing, here's Krishna. We're seeing, here's the statue of Krishna. I should offer my obeisances. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing Sakshat Brahmananda, directly the son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. So that's the advanced stage, but by following the Vaidhi Bhakti, the regulative principles, as a matter of duty, we'll come to this stage of awakening. This is the process that our feeling awakens by gradually following the principles. Any kind of exercise. In the beginning, you simply do the work. And then just like driving a car. In the beginning, you have to do everything just, they told me to do this, they told me to do that. Later it becomes automatic. Later it becomes automatic. Or later it becomes a pleasure. You get your car and you go driving. But in the beginning, it's just, now press this, now push that. But because you're pushing this and pressing that, as you become expert, then you decide, oh, this is nice. So in the beginning, we have to follow the rules and regulations, whether we feel or don't feel. Sometimes we may feel something, sometimes we may feel nothing, sometimes we may feel that. But by doing it regularly, we'll come to the stage of purification. And then the feeling comes. The other example Rupa Goswami gives, that the jaundiced patient tastes sugar to be bitter. You know this disease, jaundice? No, not yellow fever, but you turn yellow. The liver disease, jaundice, so the skin turns yellow and the tongue loses its taste. Nothing tastes like anything, and sugar tastes bitter. Very, really a nowhere kind of disease. Don't feel like doing anything, you have no energy, and sugar tastes bitter. So the cure for jaundice is sugar. Mystery, sugar cane. So you don't taste anything, and you don't feel anything, but because you're taking sugar candy daily, gradually it acts, it clears up the disease, and the sugar candy, as you become healthy, tastes sweet. So it doesn't taste sweet in the beginning, but by having confidence in the treatment, confidence in the orders of the physician, you take the sugar candy as a matter of duty, and gradually it acts and tastes sweet. Therefore, yataragre bishamiva. Krishna says the happiness in the mode of goodness in the beginning is like poison. Gotta get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You gotta take a shower. You gotta do this. You gotta chant 16 times. That's all you gotta do. You gotta do. But because we do it, gradually it becomes a pleasure. And you look forward to getting up early and chanting the Mangalarti and seeing the deities and chanting and everything. It becomes pleasure. So it starts off like poison, and in the end it's like... Any other questions?